The Book of Lamentations, Chapter 3. How many of you realize something that most Americans don't know? How many realize God don't prefer Americans more than he does any other country? Sometimes as we start thinking, we kind of think, well, I'm American, I have special favor with God, and so I can be selfish, I can be this, I can be that, I can do what I want, and God's going to wink at me. He doesn't. If you ever start thinking that because you're an American, you're better than other people in the world, and God's going to take special notice, think of Israel. What happened to Israel? What happened to them? They weren't a nation for many, 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 many years. They were under the domination of a country called Rome. And so don't let this American preference take hold of your life, because there is none with God. I know that shocked you. Because we always think everything's going to depend on what America does. Nothing depends on what America does. It depends on what God does.
That's right, amen.
Okay? We think of judgment, and we think of a lot of stuff because America is declining. But you know, there are countries around the world that are experiencing God more than you could ever imagine.
That's right.
And we need to praise God for them. We just need to catch up.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
So I want to talk about 3 points this morning, and then you can run me out of town. And I'm speaking in love, and I'm going to talk to you about a man by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah writes in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Amen.
I want us to understand something, and I need to understand it too. And that is simply, God is a God of compassion.
That's right, amen.
I can see God disciplining Israel, allowing things to happen. But I can also see Jesus, as he did in the book of Matthew, weeping over Jerusalem, weeping over the people. He says, I would gather you like a hen would gather her chicks, but you wouldn't come. I wanted to have a relationship with you, but you didn't want a relationship with me. And so God is very tediously ministering to people around this world with no preference of what country. I want you to understand that, because his compassion is reaching out to all. How many remember Abraham praying, Lord, if there's 20 people, or if there's 15 people, or if there's 10 people? Do you ever stop and look at that? Abraham never asked God if there'd be 5. God never told him to stop praying. Abraham quit asking.
That's true.
And so we come to a place where we as believers need to understand that God is compassionate. The Bible says he's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. God is not interested in judgment. God is interested in people getting saved.
Amen.
But judgment will come, and we understand that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we all must stand before the judgment bar of Christ. Understood. But we don't have to do that with fear. We don't have to do that worried. We don't have to do that, oh God, what are you going to do to me? The believer, he's going to bless.
Yes.
Do you ever have your mom and dad say thank you for doing something? You never did it. You got whipped. Did you get whipped, James? Did you ever know what a spanking was? I'll bet you didn't. And so we stand before God. We think he's going to be like a dad that we didn't do what we were supposed to do. That's not how he works. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Just right before Lamentations. And you may say, Pastor, you don't preach out of the Old Testament very much, and now I'm preaching it 2 weeks in a row. That's because I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to. I want us to understand that God's love is so amazing that he identifies with people. He understands what we're going through. He understands that at times we feel like walking away. There are times people do walk away. But you know something? God never moves. Jeremiah 33:3, and you don't necessarily have to look there, but it says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. I want you to understand something. When God said, call to me, he was talking to a rebellious nation. He was talking to a nation that had gone after idols. And if you read chapter 33, you'll see what he's doing. He's trying to get people's attention. He's coming to them so they realize that God hasn't turned his back on them. He gives a word to Jeremiah. Now listen to me. A word from God is a revelation.
Yes.
God revealed himself to Jeremiah as compassionate, as a revelation to Israel. Now he's calling them. He says, come to me. He says, I want to make you a praise to the world. I want you to be singing and dancing. I want people to see that I'm your God. You see, a lot of people think, well, Israel became God's pet. And we've told you this before. Israel was never God's pet. Israel was God's pattern to a world that if the world saw how Israel was living for God and how God would bless was blessing them, that they too would come.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Okay, look at me. You're a pattern. You're a pattern to people out there that don't believe in God, that don't think about God, that don't love God, that wants nothing to do with God, that wants to live his own life, and you come along and they look at you and see something. Oh, I never saw that before. So the pattern not only talks about God, but we resemble Christ. Really? Okay, you can quit staring now. It's still the same pastor, been here a long time. But we resemble Christ to a people that know nothing about God. And so how are they going to know about God unless they see us living for him, walking for him, promoting him, sharing his word, sharing his love? Now, how many like to be around people that are always talking about everything falling apart? Huh? Isn't that a great, oh man, this world is bad. It's going to hell in a handbasket. I never knew how it had a big enough handbasket, but. You know, and all the things that we hear, why not say there's an opportunity for God to move in 2017. There's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to get hold of people. There's an opportunity for revival in Sisseton, South Dakota, and Rosholt, and Peaver.
Yes, amen.
There's a move of God over in Beardsley. Why not? There can be a move of God in Browns Valley.
That's right.
I know. I've been going over there a couple times a week for a long time now. And so we come to this place where we need to understand that we are messengers and we have the Word of God, and we're going to talk about being messengers in just a moment. We have the Word of God to demonstrate the compassion of Jesus to a world that doesn't know Him. And I like that. I want to be a vehicle that reaches people and brings them into the kingdom. They don't have to go to church here. We love people, we want them here. But if they go somewhere else, that's okay. We just don't want them going to hell.
That's right, amen.
Because whether or not we've gone beyond, well, I don't believe in hell, I don't do this or I don't do that, there is a place called hell, or God's a liar. Love the way you're shouting.
That's true.
But it's true. There's a lake of fire. And there are people that are going to go there. It wasn't God's intention that they go there. But we, through His compassion, can reach out and touch people and let them know that God is concerned more than they could ever imagine.
That's right.
About them. You may look at your own life and you may say, man, I've messed up. Who hasn't? But if God's compassion touches me, why can't it touch you? If God's forgiveness touches somebody else, why can't it meet you? If you're set apart by God like somebody else is, why can't you be set apart? Don't get so proud of your sins you forget about the grace of God.
Amen.
I know that's a stupid statement. Well, I'm the worst sinner in the world. Well, I don't have any medals for that. You know? Paul said it. I was the worst. But yet he became one of the best. Number two, God's calling messengers. Verse 4, chapter 1 of Jeremiah. Verse 4, chapter 1 of Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came to me, or God gave Jeremiah a revelation. Okay? How many realize back in those days they didn't have the whole Bible? The word of the Lord came, God set Jeremiah down and started to talk to him. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. How about that? Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Well, it must be reincarnation. No. God knew him. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Simple word. It means set apart for some purpose of God. Set apart to God, set apart from the world. And before you were born, I ordained you for a prophet to the nations. Okay. Look at your life. What were you ordained to be? God knew you, just like He knew Jeremiah. God knew you'd be sitting here this morning. God knew what I'd be yelling at you about. God had the whole thing put together. So if you don't like what I'm preaching, tell Him. Don't come to me. And so, God knew you. He also knew Jeremiah's response would be, just like He knows what your response would be. Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. I can't talk." That became a common answer. Anybody ever read Exodus chapter 4?
Yeah.
When God talked to Moses, what did Moses say? "I can't talk." What do you say? "Well, I can't talk in front of people."
Yeah.
Who said you couldn't? Who said you couldn't witness to somebody?
That's right.
Who said that you wouldn't have all the words from God to speak into somebody's life and their whole life would be changed?
That's right.
Why not?
Amen.
It's amazing. We shoot ourselves in the foot before we even get bullets.
That's true.
And God is saying, wait, time out. But the Lord said to me, to Jeremiah, the Lord said, say the Lord said.
The Lord said.
What's the Lord saying to you? Sometimes, you know what he's telling me? Now, I know he wouldn't talk to you that way. He tells me, why don't you just shut up and listen? I know that's a terrible word. I don't want your kids saying it, but I mean, it's just. Hello?
That's right.
Do not say I'm a youth. For you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. When God sends you someplace, you're not dependent on the response of the person. You're not dependent on what they're going to say. You're not dependent on what they're going to look at you like. You're not dependent on what their thoughts are. You're dependent on what God is telling you to say to them. And if you say it and get out of there, you survived. If they kill you, you're with the Lord. What's the big deal? Come on, it'll sink in.
That's right.
You see, God says, I'm with you. I'm going to use you. There's Jeremiah, who totally survived, and Isaiah, who was cut in two with a saw. We'll talk about Jeremiah's pit experience in a moment. But God says, don't say you can't do it. Quit telling me that my power and my wisdom and my knowledge is not strong enough and deep enough to get you through what I'm asking you to do.
Amen.
Hmm?
It's an absolute trap.
I was listening to Brother Tucker yesterday. I'm supposed to feed you manna, so start eating. Open your mouth. Come on. Tell Pastor to fill it. Now, the thing about it is this. You can't keep that manna in your mouth till tomorrow. You got to get rid of it because it's going to rot and spoil. You only had it for one day. And so as you open your mouth and it begins to come down and you begin to get thoughts and you begin to feel God, it's time to share, even with your mirror. Go preach to your mirror. The only reflection you'll get will be you. You say, well, are you nuts? No. There are people that say, I can't do it. You might as well try with somebody that's not going to be critical.
This is true.
Because as soon as somebody gets critical, we run like a wounded rabbit. Don't we? You know, it's nice if everybody loves you. It's nice if everybody accepts you. It's nice if everybody says good things about you, but it's not necessary.
That's true.
I had for years based all my opinion on what people thought instead of what God thought. People aren't going to be my judge when I stand before God.
That's right. Amen. True story.
I mean, I'm not in here on purpose to offend you. I'm not here on purpose to offend anyone. But I am here to share with you there's a deeper walk in this relationship with God than I've experienced, and probably you're ahead of me, so you haven't experienced it all. And God is saying, hey, if we're going to turn this city around, if we're going to turn your township around, if we're going to turn your village around... Listen to what I'm saying. He's not beating you up to get you out there. He's just opening a door, and there'll be doors opening all around you where you can take what God has blessed you with and you can share it with somebody who wants to hear.
That's
And that was fulfilled this week in a way I've never, ever had it fulfilled before. A man came out, said, "I want to interview you." I said, "What?" He said, I interview businesses, and I just want to interview you as the pastor of COC. And so there were some people here, and he said, "What time can we do it?" And I said, "Well, let's do it at 1 o'clock. So at 1 o'clock he came, and he said, "Only take a half hour." He left at 3 o'clock. Uh-huh. Longest half hour I ever felt. But you know something? It was amazing. And he wrote down everything, and he said, "Would you explain that to me? And will you tell me this? And will you tell me that?" And wow, I thought, pretty neat. Pretty neat. How many people really want to know what makes you tick? And so we go from here, and we go through all this stuff, and we build up a barrier in front of us that keeps us from responding to what God is telling us and sharing it. Oral Roberts used to have a saying, and I grew up watching Oral Roberts tent meetings. I don't know if any of you ever saw him in the tent when he was praying for the sick and doing all the stuff that Oral Roberts was doing. But he had this little saying. It was, "A bell's not a bell till you ring it. A song's not a song till you sing it. Love was never put in your heart to stay. Love's not love until you give it away."
That's right.
You're all filled with love.
Amen.
You're all blessed people. And people respect you. Don't walk the streets of this city and think, "Well, nobody respects me, nobody loves me, nobody." They do. And you'll find that out as you start sharing. I hear it. But the thing is, for some reason, we get scared of people's shadow. We get afraid of our own shadow at times. And you're messengers. Jesus said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers into his vineyard. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few." Do you know what happens when you start praying? God's going to send somebody into the vineyard. You know who gets sent? The one praying.
Amen.
You're people of God. You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You walk this whole life out, and God is saying, "Hey, wait a minute, time out, folks. You just walked by somebody that needs to hear a good word of encouragement. You walked by somebody who needs to be encouraged or feel some compassion, or this person just went through a death and this person went through something else." It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Not only are you messengers, but you have the Word of God in you. A messenger without a message is a fraud. But you have a message. Look at 9 and 10 in Jeremiah 1. "Then God put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build up and to plant.'" God told Ananias as he went to pray for Moses, and we kind of miss this, "I want you to go pray for him because he's a chosen vessel to take my word to the Gentiles, to kings, and to Israel." To kings. What political leader needs to hear from you? Oh, us? We can't do it. Why can't you? What president needs to hear from you? Well, I don't. How in the world do I get in there? When you open the door, God opens a bigger one.
That's true.
And you may say, "Well, I don't want to be there." If God's leading you, that's the only place you want to be.
That's
God looked at the church of Philadelphia and say, I've set before you an open door that no man can open and no man can shut. When God opens a door, nobody's going to shut it except you. And then you don't shut it, you just don't go through. So Jeremiah never died from his mission, but he got tired of his mission. How many know Jeremiah was thrown in a pit? Okay, all you prophets, all that means is prophet in training. That's a pit. Jeremiah came to a place where he looked at God and said, God, you're using me. You've deceived me. And I don't want to say another word about you. And you can read about this in Jeremiah 20 and 9. I'm just going to kind of go through it. I don't want to say a word. I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm not going to tell people anymore. The last time I told a guy about you and the judgment that was coming, they put me in stocks. His name was Pasher. Spent a day in the stocks. They put him in a pit. They tried all kinds of stuff to get rid of him. And Jeremiah says, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done. But you know something? Next verse he says, but your word was like a fire shut up in my bones, and I could not but speak it. You may be going through some discomfort that's not spiritual, I mean not physical. You may sense that something's just not right. And maybe it's time, if that's going on and there's no physical problem, you come to a place of saying, God, your word in my life is like a fire. How do I get rid of it? Who do you want me to go to? Where do I go? Jeremiah tells God, your word is like a hammer and a fire. When the word of God starts burning in your heart, the only thing you can do with it, and praise God for it, is give it away.
That's true.
Give it away. Share it. And I close with this. Jesus said in John 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I believe he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but I also he's talking about fruit of people, of doing the ministry he's called us to do, whatever's going on. I make it my purpose, no matter what I'm doing, I make it my purpose to glorify Jesus. I asked God last night, I said, last trip to the Black Hills wasn't very good. I didn't really get to witness to people and didn't pray for anybody. Just one. I said, let's get some open doors out there this week. I've told you about some people. One time I jumped out of the car, looked across the campground to the place next to us, and the Lord said, that woman has cancer. He said, just wait. You don't have to go tell her. So the second day we were there, a man comes over, and we had been talking and fellowshipping, and he says, would you come talk to us tonight? And I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. Got over there, sat down, and she looked at me and says, I have cancer. And I said, I know you do. Well, how'd you know? I said, I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me. Got to know them well. But what I want to do is glorify Jesus. I don't need to make a name for myself. I don't need to make a name for the church. And Jesus has a name that's above every name.
Amen.
King of kings and Lord of lords. And all I want to do is glorify him. I believe that much of the frustration in churches today is because Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's getting involved. It's coming to a place where I'm living this out. It's coming to a place, whatever the cost, I'm going to glorify Jesus. Put me in a pit. Cut me in two. Does it really matter? Now put your saws away. I'm not very comfortable right now. But the only thing that really matters is Christ. Read chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. God delivered many people, but some died for the kingdom. I'm not talking about dying. I'm talking about living. Putting everything on the line, looking people in the face and say, I know your problem. I understand what you're going through, but I also understand that Jesus could really help you right now. Amen. Live that life. Walk it out. Let people see. And you know something? They'll take notice. And you'll wake up the morning and you'll say, boy, I need one today. Who am I going to? God lead me. I'm not telling you to go knock on doors. I'm not telling you to do a lot of other stuff. I'm telling you to ask the Holy Spirit. God set the path and called Jeremiah and gave him the words to say and led him to a group of rebellious people. But Jeremiah lived.